Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
When the dogwoods start to bloom and the crickets hum the tune, that's usually about the time that I feel most alive. But the news has all been bad and the whole world seems so sad. I ain't had much else going on, so I sat down and wrote this song. I miss my mom, I miss my dad, I miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. It's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. But there'll be crowds and there'll be shows, and there will be light after dark. Someday when we aren't 6 feet apart. The first thing that I'm gonna do is climb on in some corner booth, take the whole damn family out and buy my buddies all around, pay some extra on the tab, catch a movie, catch a cab, watch a ball game from the stands, probably overwash my hands. I miss my mom, I miss my dad, I miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. It's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. But there'll be crowds and there'll be shows, there will be light after dark. Someday when we aren't 6 feet apart. I miss my mom, I miss my dad, I miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. Now it's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. But there'll be crowds and there'll be shows, and there will be light after dark. Someday when we aren't 6 feet apart. Now there will be light after dark. Someday when we aren't 6 feet apart.
Welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and everyone in those 30 countries globally who tune in. Thank you for doing that. I want to give a special shout out to my daughter. Today is her birthday. And you never tell a lady's age, so I'm not going to tell that. But she looks good. And I want to say hello hello to my co-host first. Chris, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. Happy birthday to your daughter.
I will let her know that. And this special guest we got on tonight, oh, y'all, you know, he is something special. James Dennis Casey the Fourth. You know, it's a long line of guys passing that name down, so he got to have a male child to make it the fifth. But anyway, James, you know, I don't know if he's going to go by James Dennis Casey or, you know, Hey Dude or Five. I don't know what he want to be called, but he can be called other things besides a poet, a writer, editor-in-chief, publisher, and guess what? A damn pirate. Okay? Let's ask that question. Now, if you're on your tablets or your smartphones or on your laptops or computers, if you want to talk and ask him some questions, just call in at 347-945-6003. And hit the one key, and that way I will unmute the mic and let you talk to our guests. But I'm going to ask my guests first. James, what you want us to call you tonight before I ask you this first question?
James is fine.
Okay, James, okay. I didn't know if people call you Jim or whatever. But anyway, James, did you recognize that song?
Yeah, that was that Luke Combs fella.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
that song.
I'm sure somebody have told you look like him somewhat. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I like that song, 6 Feet Apart. Yes, I like that. But anyway, you have done so much. And by your picture, you're very young. So you must have started early just dibbling and dabbling. And, you know, some people are just, you know, are just driven. They do so much in a short span of time that you would think they old souls, but they still young. But, you know, they just do so many things. And for you to be a poet, a writer, editor-in-chief, publisher and everything, so I take it that when you was in school, you loved literature and you loved the English curriculum. I could care less for it, man, because it was always, I had to work hard to get them B's or A's.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I've always been into poetry and writing and literature is very important to me. That's the reason that I do what I do with Cajun Mutt Press. I wanted to have a venue where people could express themselves, you know, get the literature out into the world.
That's wonderful, you know, because not only am I a writer, my first love is poetry, too, because out of 11 books, I think it was only like maybe one, maybe about four, maybe four of those was probably stories. I think everything else was pretty much poetry or short stories. But I got some questions, but my big mouth, I'll just keep running. So I'm going to let Chris ask his question first because then I can jump at you.
All right.
Go ahead, Chris, darling.
Okay, well, my first question for James is, you've written, for people who don't know, you've written 7 books, and my question is, which of your 7 books was took the longest to publish?
Probably the latest one. I had to work on that one for a long time. It's a longer collection of poetry. It's over 200 pages, and you know, it's when you're working on a long collection like that, it takes a while to make sure everything comes out the way you want it and everything, you know?
Yeah,
right about
I
that.
Understand.
Yeah. You know, James, some people might not understand, but I know, but back when I was first starting at this little poetry thing, and I always thought that poetry was everything that rhymed, you know? That's poetry, you know, but there's also poetry that kind of like tells a story, and it's kind of like, you know, well, to me, if it ain't rhyming, it's like it's hard for me to, you know, to pull in. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there like me because, you know, me, man, I just want to go to school, get a grade that wouldn't cause me to get my behind whipped and keep it moving, you know. So, you know, and rhyming, and, you know, my dad, you know, sometimes he be rhyming before you get ready to spank us, you know, so, you know. You know, rhyming, you know. I said, oh, here we go. You know, and I'm going to tell you the story real quick, so I don't want to hold this up. But, you know, I was so, I thought I was so slick. When I was young, I had did something I hadn't been doing. So I took a plate and put it down my pants. So I figured that if my mother beat me, you know, I wasn't going to feel any pain. Oh, my God. She hit me. And then she said, what is wrong with your, she didn't use the nice words. She said, what is wrong with your ASS? And she turned me around, pulled that plate out. I got a harder beating, first of all, because she said she had broken a plate. You know, it would have really been terrible. But,
oh, no.
You know, I'm young and dumb. I'm putting a plate down my butt trying to think I'm going to get out of something. So, you know, I wasn't the brightest crayon in the box.
No.
Yeah, but you got to explain to people there are different types of poetry, so they don't think like I thought. If it rhymes, it's poetry. But, no, some of the stuff is like short stories or, you know.
Well, there's different types. You know, there's prose, there's free verse, there's so many different ones. The style you're talking about is the monorhyme poetry. It's it usually goes with the ABA, BC, you know, the style and the tone of the writing. And I like to write in free verse. I don't do a lot of rhyming poems. That's just not really my style. It's more raw. That's my poetry is. I do a lot of free verse. Some of it's prose, which is just like spoken language. But the rhyming thing just isn't. It isn't for me. I'm not a big fan of rhyming poems.
Okay, well then we're gonna have no competition in that area. I love the rhyme because, and I want you to get a poem together too. I want you to read it for our listeners as well before I throw it back to Chris. But you know, I read some of your poetry. And I said to myself, and I'm not trying to take nothing away from you or nothing, and listeners, don't listen to me because this is not what I do. English has not been my first subject. You know, I know Ebonics. That's my second language, okay? You know, and the thing is, you know, I'm goofy. I like something that's easy and sweet. But I read your poetry, and my eyebrow had to go up. I said, dang, what the heck did that mean?
Well, a lot of my poetry.
I said, "Wow, that's long hair." You know.
A lot of my poetry is metaphorical, you know.
Yeah, but you know, people into that, they know exactly where you're coming from. But like I said, you know, that's why I had to have an editor for my books because I write the way I feel. You know, no rhyme or reason is not connecting the dots. I ain't trying to have no claim to fame, being no editor. I need someone to clean that mess up. I just wrote how I felt stuff, you know. And on that note, let me shut up so Chris can ask this question. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, well, James, was poetry always your passion, or was that just something that you fell in love with later in life?
Oh, it's always been a passion of mine. I think my first poem that I had ever written was probably around kindergarten. They had a contest for a Halloween poem. Yeah, and I entered it and I won. And but that was the first thing I remember doing as far as poetry goes, and that just kind of like lit the flame, you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that must be, that's just got to be something in you. Some people, they don't know that they have a gift for certain things. But someone told me, Steve Harvey said, as a matter of fact, on radio, anything that you do well, that's God-given talent. So obviously, you do a lot of things well. And poetry is one of yours. If you're starting off in kindergarten writing poetry and you're a baby, you know, that's a God-given talent. And God gives a lot of us, you know, more than one gift. Some of us get many, you know, and so when did you decide, James, that you was going to take this and write your first book? What space in your life were you at? Were you out of school? Were you still in school before you wrote your first poetry book? I mean, where were you at with that?
Well, the first poetry book that I had published was a collection of a lot of older poems leading up to that point. And so that was 2016 was when my first book was published, and it was a collection of the past, I'd say probably about 10 years or so of writing that I had just compiled and put into a collection. And that was the very first book that I had published, and it was called Metaphorically Esoteric. And it's a lot of my older stuff.
That's all right. You know, sometimes we leave stuff on the shelf that we should dust off because it'd be some good stuff. I know one thing I can say to people listening, and this seems to work for me. When I used to write poetry, it flowed so well when I was either extremely happy or miserable or whatever. If I'm at an extreme of emotion, whether I'm sad, I'm crying, I'm happy or whatever, that stuff, it just spits out pow, 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 pow. But if someone say, well, look, Terry, I need you to write something for this occasion, Ladies Day, whatever, I got to sit there and kind of like think. Because when I got to think about it, it don't come as quickly. And I don't know if that works for you, but for me, when I'm at the height of an emotion, whatever that be, up or low, that stuff come out, it be like flowing, like, wow. And I be saying to myself, dang, I wrote that because I be impressed with my own self.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from, you know. That's where all good artwork in any form comes from. Like Leonard Cohen said, poetry is just the ash of a life burning well. So, mm-hmm. You know, basically, like you said, it comes from highs and lows, you know, and that's where it comes from. That's where all art comes from.
Yeah. Well, I know you have written a lot of stuff, and by you having your publishing company, I'm sure you had to look at other people's stuff, but I don't want to look at anybody else's stuff. Would you happen to, by chance, have anything handy that you wrote or something you know by memory that you can read for us, you know?
I do. I have a few that I've pulled out.
Okay, well, you read one, then Chris will ask his question, and then you can read another one after Chris asks his question. When you read one first right now, then let Chris ask his question, and then you read another one, because we're going to get you out there, because we want everybody in all those countries, you know, all you do is hit translate, and it'll translate into your language, whatever y'all hearing it by, what he's saying right now. Okay, go ahead, James, darling.
All right, this first one is called Advaitic Terra Firma. The universe, early in the planning stage, a silent nuclear philosophy, poorly translated, made of celestial bones coated in cobra skin and sparkling prophecy preferred, a brand new cult nightmare, untold truths in liquid sound, breeding strange tiny monsters asleep inside the deep, Advaitic terra firma in various phases of unfathomable intelligence, dreaming of the words to use. Electric worry, censorship, and godless waiting games make up the duality of time, Kier. End poem.
You know something, I like that, but before I say anything, I'm going to let Chris ask his question, but I like that. I get that. I didn't even think I was going to get that. That first one went past me that I read online, but I get that, and I'll tell you why. Go ahead, Chris, ask your question. I like that.
All right, James. Well, I guess my question follows that poem, because I like to know, how long did it take you to write that?
Usually when I write a poem, I'll sit down and come up with an outline of what I want to write about. You know, it's got to have a general beginning, middle, and end. It takes me a couple of days to write a poem sometimes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, it's similar to what I say when I want to write something. I get the potatoes together, and then I just like, it might just be one line or something, you know, and then I string it together, you know, I'm sewing, and I'll stitch it into a poem, and I said, I'm going to add my meat, but you're right, because, James, sometimes I just, like, have one sentence, and I work with that, and I add the rest of the stuff to create something. But that poem is so profound, because if you think about life and its conception, you know, and the things that we're dealing with today, we're dealing with cults, we're dealing with people just not knowing what's going on, we're dealing with monsters, you know, in the deep. You know, there are different creatures further down in the deep than so far than what we have been able to go, because they said that a submarine can only go down 2,000 feet before it would explode, you know. And so that's what happened to those Iranian people in the submarine. 53 people, they tried to catch within a day, but they died, and they found remnants of the summer rain that exploded. But, you know, and I believe all of what you said. These things that you read about the celestial and the bones of life and all this other stuff, and I believe that, you know, it's just that no one has ever took little snippets and put it together. But that's to me is like the beginning of life and so forth right now, you know. And what did you call the name of that poem? Because that's what that meant to me.
The name of it is Advaitic Terra Firma. It's a Hindu philosophy. It means your true self, your real self. It's the essence of the soul. And when I wrote that poem, I was thinking of the universe coming alive and, you know, everything being able to speak and communicate, plants and trees and animals, and that's where I was going with that one.
And that's what I took from that. It's like the beginning of time, how everything...
It's
swirling together, and it created all these different factors, you know, but they all was a part of the same universe, and that's what I got out of that. And go figure, I would have never thought, I mean, I would have got there, but I said, oh, yeah, that clicked, you know, man. Maybe I ought to try some of the other stuff, kind of poetry that I've been scared of.
I get into deep thought sometimes, and you never know what you're going to get out of my brain.
Well, you know, I know back in the day, you know, I don't smoke marijuana anymore, but when I used to smoke marijuana, man, I thought I was Einstein, man. I'd be thinking of stuff that sounds so profound, you know. Then I'd get in the kitchen, I'd cook stuff, and it tastes so good. The next day I wake up, I couldn't even remember what it was that I did, you know, or what did I cook. And I'd be saying, dang, the next time. If I decide I'm going to smoke a joint, I'm going to record this and, you know, getting high, forget everything, you know, but I don't do that anymore. But I'm just saying, I've had my moments where my brain has expanded, you know, and a lot of people will say, James, that, you know, these musicians and stuff, you know, that are getting high and stuff, you know, but I really believe, and I can't say because I don't know, but I really believe that what we don't understand and what we called not legal yet, in some places it's legal, sometimes different things expand the mind, because I don't really think we are using the potential of our mind that we could be using, so quasi's kept, you know. So I believe that, yeah, open up your mind, you know, and just you'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, so,
that's true.
Okay, well, we're waiting for another poem from you, darling.
All right, let me pull this next one out here. This next poem is from my latest book. It's called Unwritten Words That Slide Down the Wall is the title of the book. The poem is called, This Is Me in My Purest Form.
Okay.
I don't want to feel anymore, but I want to feel everything, the emptiness of tomorrow hidden by my gun, unfired and unfriended, a hidden truth faded out by design, the silence of science, letting go of the change, a chemical reaction, lay down, wake up. End poem.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Was that about... romance that was over, or a sad moment?
Somewhat. It was an old memory actually that sparked this one. Without getting into too much detail.
Okay. We're not gonna prod you, you know, put you on blast, you know, some things that. Supposed to be probably going to leave it at that. All right, Chris, it's your time for a question, baby.
Okay. My question is there any poems, James, that you have not published? Like, do you have a journal where it's like unpublished poems? Or is or
yes.
Have you published?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have several.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have several. I have a lot of unpublished work. I put poetry everywhere. I have so many different websites and profiles. You know, it's insane the amount of writing that I do, even to me. Sometimes I sit back and look at my body of work, and it's pretty surprising.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you go out and set up a table like a vendor at different locations?
No, I don't leave the house.
Okay, do you have a phobia about leaving the house?
No, I just don't like people too much.
Oh, okay.
Who does?
I never heard that one. Okay.
I'd rather sit in my writing room and just create. You know, I'd just rather create and do my own thing.
James, the reason why I stopped creating for a while, because now I know you got your own publishing company, I don't, but it gets to be very expensive when you need a publisher, you know, and because you got your own company, that's different for you, but, you know, people don't realize, you know, my first book years ago was $2,500, and then it went up to like $3,500, $5,000, and the more it goes up, and then they come at you, the publishing company, they want you to do these email blasts, and they want you to do these commercials and all this other stuff, and it gets to be very costly, and I just had to like slow down and say, well, it is what it is, I'm going to take a break because I really can't afford that, you know.
I don't do any of that. My writers don't pay anything. They don't have, I'm not a vanity publisher.
Okay.
I don't make people pay me at all. Everything is square and even, and I'm honest with everybody. And if the book sells, they get paid. If it doesn't, it don't. I don't make you do anything you don't want to do. No crazy payments, advertisements, or anything. That's just the way I roll. That's how I run my business.
Well, hey, call me up. I just throw a poem your way. Shoot. And just so it can be seen by somebody else, that's like gratification to me. Because that's what I tell somebody, you know. I said, all money is not always good money. Sometimes, you know, it's the exposure and people liking what they heard and they remembered that, you know, because I went to a whole lot of shows, putting up tables and flew out of town to Texas, D.C., New York, you know, stayed at a hotel, spending money, just trying to push myself out there. And, you know, and at the time, you know, I wasn't sweating because I had just got paid from a claim, and I was rolling in money. But, man, when that money got low, it went out fast. But I was living like a rock star, though, man. I was cruising, flying, Barbados, Aruba, you know, everywhere, all the islands, man, I was doing it, man, so at least I had those memories.
There's no point in saving money, spend it if you got it.
That's right, and I did, because you never know how long it's going to last, you know.
Can't take it with you anyway.
That's honest to God truth. But you know something? I'm going to play one little short song real quick, and when we come back, I want you to have a song ready, Chris will have a question ready, and then we're going to talk about how to get a hold of you. If that's okay, because if you don't leave the house, you know, I knew somebody, one of my neighbors, the husband would do all the shopping, because the wife, I don't know what happened, but she never left her house. Lovely woman, and I don't know what causes that, you know, and I don't want to get into no more details, but you are very talented, you know. At least you're utilizing your time wisely. So I guess as far as you go, concerned the pandemic, there's nothing different. You was already home, huh?
Yeah, I never really left the house anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
Oh, okay. So you must be on that Walmart or Publix. You call in your groceries and they bring them to your door?
No. I mean, I live with my girlfriend, and she goes shopping and stuff, and I don't like to leave the house.
Well, you know, that's a good arrangement. Give me your credit card, baby. I'll be back with some groceries. I like that. She's a smart woman. I like that, but let's play the song and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
James, I guess that's the question I'm going to ask. Is like, was you raised to be a pirate, or was that something that you chose to be? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Wait a minute, stop, hold up. Before you answer that question, Chris, I'm going to spank you. Because I know good well you can ask him, was he raised a pirate?
I don't know, Terry. I don't know about piracy. I don't know. I didn't know you wasn't raised. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Okay. I'll give you that. But I just thought it was a given. Okay. Have you ever seen? Okay.
I'm not that smart, Terry. I didn't know that. I didn't know the answer. That's why I asked the question.
Well, pirates are children in number costumes, but pirates on the high seas are people who run and they are looters on the high seas.
All right.
Okay.
I get how it was a stupid question. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, that doesn't sound crazy. You raised a pirate. And I'm saying, I'm not just joking. That's okay, Chris.
No,
everybody don't know everything.
That was stupid. That was stupid.
Okay.
No, it's all right. It just means something different to us and our family. My family on my father's side is from Louisiana. And I was raised around Mardi Gras and Bourbon Street, and all my life, I've been doing pirate shit. So we call ourselves pirates, you know.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I
get it.
I'm glad that he asked. I'll let you know. It's not to be putting you down, because you know something somebody else might not know. You know, but basically, when someone think of pirates, they think about thieves on the high seas. You know, they'll pull you over and steal your cargo or whatever, you know, and they try and get the loot, you know. And I don't know if you've seen Peter Pan and Pirates of the Caribbean, but basically when people think pirate, they think of somebody who's on the waterways, robbers on the high seas, you know. So shame, but a lot of people don't know, you know. But it is a favorite masquerade costume, though, for real, you know.
We're just a bunch of tattooed, bearded scallywags from Louisiana.
Uh-huh. And
that's just what we call ourselves.
Unshaven, yeah, tattoos, you know, having a good old time, you know, with the spirit.
Basically, that's
I'm
what it is.
So you ready for that poem, James?
Yes, I'm ready.
Hey, darling.
This next poem is called Secrets and Fire Beyond the Grave.
Wow, I like the title.
No plan when the movement begins. Demons crawl from the belly and out of the mouth, then back inside. Nowhere to run, no place to hide from the kingdom that comes. Hands on the rein slipped away. Darkness now, secrets and fire from beyond the grave. Seeds of marble turn flowers by the still of her hand. Harder the pain, softer the song. Faded, no plan, darkness again, no more. Love kills the demon, or so I've been told. Only the morning knows the answers. End poem.
James, that's scary. Shit. You talking about hell. That's scary. Oh, my God. I don't want to think about that before I go to sleep, because I'll be having all kinds of research in my brain. That's scary, James. Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes you just got to be down with your demons.
Oh, I'm not.
Don't be scared.
That scared me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You know. please don't let me have no bad dreams. You know. Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay. Let's go ahead and ask another question. Ooh, I got to throw some wood on my face.
Okay, my next question is, James, what poets did you idolize growing up? Like when you was probably in high school writing poetry, who did you read? I mean, I know there's so many poets out there. What poets influenced you?
Well,
My favorites were Charles Bukowski, Jim Morrison, Leonard Cohen, people like that. I like a lot of the darker side of poetry, and I'm not too into the soft, cushy stuff. I like it raw, you know.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. I know everyone, I can say, I believe everyone has had a nightmare before, you know, but I can probably count them on one hand, and I'm grateful for that because nightmares are scary. Do you have nightmares when you be writing it, the dark poems, or does it bother you?
Well, a lot of my poems do come from dreams. I have a lot of vivid, crazy dreams. I mean, I wouldn't really necessarily call them nightmares, but I guess sometimes they can get kind of scary. It's freaky in my head. It's pretty freaky up there in my head.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't want to hear nothing about none of them dreams, because that poem did something to me. Like, whoo, it flipped me around off of there. But okay.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate you being here, but I don't know what to say.
That was that bad, huh?
You know, it didn't bother Chris, but it like, if somebody we start saying demons, I said, oh my God, no. I don't want to have no bad dreams. Oh God. Okay, well, James, I really appreciate you being here on a Friday, you know, and a lot of times people would like to know how to reach you or a website where they can probably buy some of your books or whatever. Are you willing to give that out for our listeners?
I said, I mean, I'm all over the internet. If I have Facebook profiles and Instagram profile, and all of my books are available on Amazon, Amazon.com. I wish there was some kind of way I could post the links here. Yeah, if you just look up my name, I'm everywhere. I'm there. You can go to Facebook and look up my name, or Twitter, or wherever, and I'm there. I'm all over the place.
Okay. Well, you know, me and Chris, we so appreciate you spending this time because, you know, Friday is prime time for people to be hanging out with their loved ones or, you know, going out, you know, but I appreciate you taking the time. You know, you could have been having dinner or whatever at the time, but thank you so much, James.
No problem.
And anytime you want to do something different or write something, call me. Let me know. We'll get you back on here.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, because Chris, what did we say once a person's been on our show?
That they're family.
That's right, and it's home. You can always come home.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. So, is there a shout-out you want to give to somebody, James, before we go?
No, not really. I mean, I'm pretty much self-contained. I don't really work with too many people except for my writers that send me work, but hello to everybody that's listening. Hello if any of my writers are listening. And if anybody would like to submit some poetry to Cajun Mutt Press, you can always email me at cajunmuttpress@gmail.com. Just send 1 to 3 poems with a bio and an author photo, and I do featured writer spots every week, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
I'm going to have to hook up with you later on because I would like to be featured in one of your books. That would be nice, you know, because you never know. I think this world that we live in, you know, is smaller than we think, you know.
Yeah, just remember what I said. I like it raw, and I'm not a big fan of rhyme and stuff. So if you got some dark work, catch my attention, send it my way.
You mean X-rated?
No, it doesn't. I don't mean X-rated. Just dark, gritty. You know, something real. I don't want to read about butterflies and rainbows.
Oh, I don't do butterflies. I don't do sexual or real stuff. I don't do that hoity-toity stuff either.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of all that, you know.
Me
gotta be something dark.
I would never. Now that I see what kind of stuff you're working with, no. But anyway, I'll let you check it out, and I wouldn't be hurt if you said, well, that's not what I'm looking for, Terry. But I'll hook up with you a little later on, you know. And thanks again for being here with us this weekend. And, Chris, you have a great week coming up. And you too, James.
Yeah.
All right. I had fun.
Thank you.
I had fun talking to y'all.
Same here.
Have fun, too.
We look forward again.
All right.
All right, darling.
Y'all,
bye-bye.
Y'all take care now, all right? Bye-bye.
You too.